The ride to St. Anthony's took longer than he expected. He always figured you could get from one place to any other place in Las Cruces in 20 minutes or less. Maybe it was a short drive that seemed long because Mrs. Olivares would not stop talking. Mostly she told him how lucky he was to be going to St. Anthony's rather than a juvenile detention center. St. Anthony's was an orphanage. It was not a place for kids with problems. Mrs. Olivares had worked very hard and called in a lot of favors to get him admitted. She pointed out the high school he would attend in the fall. It was within walking distance of St. Anthony's. He had been given a choice between going to summer school and entering as a senior or redoing his junior year. He chose to redo his junior year. He had other plans for the summer. There was a white sign on the front lawn with the words, St. Anthony's Home, painted in black letters. Behind it stood a one-story brick building in the shape of a lopsided cross. Next to the building was a basketball court. Kids dressed in gray shorts and blue t-shirts were playing a full-court game. They stopped and turned to look at Mrs. Olivares' car as it drove by. The kids on the basketball court were his age or older, but he could see younger kids on the grass fields. He noticed that there was no fence of any kind around the property. Mrs. Olivares parked the car in front of the main entrance and popped open the trunk. "Well, here we are," she said. She seemed like she wanted to say one more thing. Pancho stared straight ahead and waited for her to speak. "I can't tell you how important it is for you to get along with everyone here. I understand you're still hurting, but why make matters worse for yourself?" He rolled down the window. It was June, and it was hot. If she was going to give him another lecture, the least she could do was keep the air conditioner on. "You need to get over the anger. The police determined that there was no foul play in Rosa's death. It was no one's fault. Not yours, not anyone's. She just died. It happens." "What did she die of?" he dared her to answer. "Not that again. How many times have we gone over that? The coroner's report lists the cause of death as undetermined. That just means they don't know the exact reason. It happens sometimes. People die and no one knows why. Even apparently healthy young people like your sister." "Why was she in a motel room? Who was she with?" "She was 20 years old. It was not illegal for her to be in a motel room with someone. How can they say it was no one's fault if they don't even look for the guy she was with?" "You talked to the detective. What did he tell you?" Pancho remembered the detective. He remembered how shocked he was when the detective told him his sister had sex with someone before she died and there was no evidence of rape. He tried his best to explain that Rosa had the mind of a child. She wouldn't go in a motel room with someone unless she was deceived or taken advantage of somehow. "You can't just give up on this," he told the detective. But the detective wasn't interested. He took notes and grinned as if he'd heard it all before. "There's no evidence that a crime was committed, so it's a waste of time to look for him. What are we going to charge the guy with? Not calling 911? Pancho looked out the window. Mrs. Olivares continued, "I know it's frustrating not to have someone to blame. I know you feel helpless, but you can't take your frustrations out on people. I know you're a good boy inside. I know it. I told Father Concha that you were. Are you listening to me?"
"Yeah," he said.
But he said it in a way meant to make her stop talking. "Look," she sounded annoyed, "as of last week, the state of New Mexico, that would be me, is your legal guardian, and you are my charge." What a strange word that was. Charge. He was Mrs. Olivares's charge. "There are worse places than this. What you did at Mrs. Duggan's could have landed you in prison. I'm taking a chance here. There's a lot of people back in the office who think I'm making a mistake bringing you here. Am I making a mistake?"
"Yeah, you're making a mistake," he thought.
"Pancho, I'm talking to you."
He turned toward her and saw beads of sweat on her dark brown forehead. Mrs. Olivares was a heavy woman, and for a moment she reminded him of his sister. He blinked to make the memory disappear.
"I'll be all right," he said. Then he asked, "What's going to happen to the trailer and the truck?"
She rolled down her window.
"The state's going to auction the mobile home and all the other things. The money will be used to cover the cost of your sister's funeral. Any money left over will be held in trust for you. I doubt the truck is worth anything. Even the trailer won't sell for much."
He shook his head.
"I'm sorry," she said. She looked as if she understood the unfairness of it all. "I wish I could just let you be until you turn 18 next year, but I can't. My boss feels there's too much liability there.
I'll come get you this weekend and take you to the trailer, and we can pick out a few things for you to save. We'll find a place to store them.